for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Sunday morning, July the 5th, 1987. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the morning. He is concluding his teaching on the third day. This is tape two of two tapes on the subject. Come on.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand one more time together and pray.
Hallelujah.
Father, again today, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for strength. We thank you for directing us this week, Lord. We thank you, Lord, of that which, again, you've said and done. And, Lord, again, we look to your word and we look to you, Lord. We trust in you, Lord. You are our source, our strength. You're everything that we need. And, Lord, direct us now into thy word today, we pray. Open our hearts to receive it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you. You know that song the lady sang, that God's preparing a people for himself. And I believe that. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart, that he's preparing a people for himself. And as I said last night, readiness speaks of preparation. I want us to turn to a couple of scriptures here as we continue the message from last night. Turn to Luke 1, 17. Let's start there. Luke 1, 17. In the scripture, the Lord impressed a lot of things on me this morning, and so with what we had, so for about the next hour we want to share. You know, years ago I used to try to dump the whole load on people, but I learned you can't do that. You can just give them so much, and so that's all we want to do. We want to just share what God said, and that's it. Luke 1:17, and it's speaking of John the Baptist here, and it says, and he... Well, go back to verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children. How many know this is a quote from Malachi? And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. But you know, I don't believe this scripture has yet been fully fulfilled. Because there is a people that's arising, I believe, that God is going to use to heal homes and to heal people. Praise the Lord. And you know, the fathers have to turn to the children first. And the children then will turn to the fathers. And that's natural and that's spiritual. But he says here, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So if we're ready, we are prepared for the Lord. And as we said last night, there is a John the Baptist ministry God is raising up to make ready and to prepare a people for the coming of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now look in Luke 12. We're right there in Luke. Let's turn there while we're there. In Luke 12, 47. Now there's a lot in this scripture that I can't go into, but in Luke 12:47, Jesus said, and that servant which knew his Lord's will. How many know it's dangerous to know God's will and not do it? And what? Prepared not himself. We are responsible before God, if we know his will, to get prepared for what's coming. Neither did according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Can I tell you what many stripes represent? The tribulation.
Yes.
Trouble. But he that knew not and did not commit things where the stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And there's another message in that. Now turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And then we want to go to the Old Testament for a few minutes. Revelation 19. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, to Jesus. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife I may believe he's married. I may know he's not married to a harlot or to a hag. He's married to a virgin bride, isn't he? His wife has made herself what? Ready. His wife has made herself ready. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Exodus. We were there last night, but let's go to chapter 33. Look at a couple of scriptures here. In chapter 33, the Lord, in verse 18, Moses is crying out to God, and he said, I beseech thee, show me something. Thy glory. I believe God is going to reveal his glory in this hour. I believe we're approaching that third day, and the glory of God is coming. How many believe it's going to cover the earth as the water, of course, in the sea? But I believe that, and I believe the glory is coming. It's going to take God's glory to take us through. We said last night he'll be glorified in the saints. We said he's leading many sons to glory. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. This latter house, the glory of this latter house. And so Paul said, the sufferings of this world is not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen? So there's coming God's glory in the earth. And Moses, again, is a type overcomer, and he's crying out for it. And then God said in verse 19 that his mercy and his graciousness would come. Verse 20, he said, you can't see my face and live. Verse 21, there's a place by me. You'll stand upon a rock, and that's a message in itself. Verse 22, I'll put you in the cliff of the rock. How many are hidden in God in Christ today? And we'll cover you. And verse 33, thou shalt see my back parts, my face shall not be seen. But come up to chapter 34, verse 2. Listen to what God said. Now, if you're going to see the glory, how many know you're going to have to, there's going to be inspection time. Do you believe that? God's going to check you out. God's going to check me out. And here in verse 2, he said, number 1, and be what? Ready when?
In the morning.
And we saw in Exodus 19 that God was going to descend in the morning of the third day. And so Moses said, be ready in the morning. That's preparation. That is the command. There is a dawning of a new day, and that is for you and I to be ready in the morning. And two, he said, come up in the morning. Come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai. And three, God said, present yourself there to me in the top of the mount. And number four, no man shall come with thee. Yes, we're going in together, but how many know we're responsible individually before God? You know, amen? And number five, what God said, and let no man be seen throughout all the mount. Jesus said, the Lord said, no flesh will glory in my presence. And I'll tell you, I believe what God is doing today, I believe he's going to be seen. He's going to be glorified. We've seen enough of man, haven't we? We've seen enough of man in his pride and exalting himself and his haughtiness. But God is going to bring that down, brother. And God is going to be exalted. He's going to be exalted in our hearts and lives. All right, now go to chapter 25. Chapter 25. Or 24, I believe it is. Chapter 24. Now, in Exodus 24, we're dealing with several things here in the chapter of chapter 24. Let's look at verses 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. How many know God needs to be seen? The pure in heart shall what? See God. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work. How many know where the feet come? I won't go into that. But notice, a paved work of a sapphire stone. And as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness, no darkness. All right, now, look at verse 11. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, did eat and drink. That's fellowship, communion. Verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me in the mount, and be there. I believe he's saying that same thing to us. I believe as John the Revelator heard that same word, I believe he's saying that to many today. But our problem is we want to live on the earth plane too much. How many know it's time to ascend in God? Out of the terrestrial into the celestial. Hallelujah. And so God said to Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there. That's not an option, it's a command. And I will give you tables of stones. And so Moses rose up with his minister, Joshua. Now the elders had come a certain level and they had to stop. And then Moses and Joshua went up higher and Joshua had to stop. And then we're going to see Moses going up higher. How many can see a 30? Come on. 60 and 100 principle right here. And so it says in verse 13 that Moses rose up with Joshua and they went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, tarry you here. And of course he left the camp in there in the charge of Aaron and Hur. And then in verse 15 it says, and Moses went up to the mount and a cloud covered the mount. What's the cloud a type of? The glory. The glory of God. How many's ever seen that cloud coming into services? Many see it like smoke coming in. All right, verse 16. And what? The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. 6 days. Moses is waiting on God. What day are we in today? We're in the sixth day. We're in the sixth day from Adam, or 6,000 years from Adam. And notice it says that in the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Praise the Lord. And where's Moses going? He's going up. And we're approaching the seventh day. And I believe that there is a people that's going to hear God. Hallelujah. And come up. Amen. As Moses heard and came up. This 6 day, this 6,000 years has been man's preparation to hear God to come up higher. Hallelujah. Verse 17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went in the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. Praise the Lord. And we read in Revelation that there is a people where? On Mount Zion. They're in the glory. Hallelujah. They're in the cloud with him. Amen. Turn to Matthew. Let's go there just a minute. 17. In Matthew 17. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Matthew 17, 1. How many believe that Jesus is the pattern? You know, when Moses reared up the tabernacle, who can tell me what happened? God did something. He filled it with his glory. But why did he fill it with his glory? Because it was made according to the pattern. And when Solomon's temple was built, God filled it with his glory. Why? Because it was built according to the pattern. Well, how many know that the real pattern came? Jesus. Amen. The fullness of God. Amen. And he had the fullness of that glory within him. And he's raising up a people that's going to follow that pattern. And how many know God's going to fill this church with his fullness too? And here in chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. That's a remnant. Where's the other nine? They're at the bottom of the mountain trying to cast a spirit out of a person. And they were not successful. Isn't that right? Because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. But there were three here on top of the mountain and nine at the bottom. And it says that he took these three, Peter, James, and John, the brothers, and brought them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now turn in chapter 13 just a second. There in Matthew. And look at verse 43. Verse 43. And notice what it says. Then, after the purging, because we're dealing with the purging here, with the tares and wheat. And he's going to purge the tares, isn't he? And you know what the tares are? The sons of the wicked one. And the wheat are the sons of the Lord. Verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And yet back in chapter 17, Jesus was transfigured. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Hallelujah. And yet there are the sons who's going to shine as the sun as well in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because the Son has put his light, his glory in them. Amen. Glory to God. Now go back to chapter 17, verse 1. What did it say? After what? 6 days. After 6 days, he took them up, those three, into the mount. How many days in a, how many hours in a day? 24. 6 times 24 is 144. All you have to add is 3 zeros. How many believe he's raising up 144,000? First fruits. After 6 days. What comes after 6 days? Now look over in Luke. Look over in Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Luke 9, 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these things, he took Peter, James, and John and went up into a mountain to pray. And he prayed, his fashion of his countenance was altered, his raiment was white and glistening. And verse 31, it says, these other two appeared with him in glory. In glory. Now, Matthew said after 6 days. Luke says about 8 days. What's after six? What's before eight? About eight? Seven. We are coming to the seventh day. Amen? And there is a people, that's from Adam, and there is a people, again, going to behold the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, now, let's go to another scripture in the Old Testament. Go to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Hallelujah. Joshua, chapter 3. And God told them within 3 days they were to pass over. It was a helpless, a hopeless situation in the natural. How many know sometimes we face helpless and hopeless situations in the natural? And God brings the supernatural. Now in chapter 3, now verse 1, we see that there is a dawning of a new day. Joshua rose early in the morning. There's that morning again. And it's early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim. They came to Jordan. And they begin to lodge there before they passed over Jordan. Now, how many believe that there is three baptisms? Baptism in the sea, come on. Baptism in the cloud. And baptism in Jordan. Or baptism in water. Baptism in the Spirit. Baptism in fire. As Brother Pittman talked yesterday, the fire is coming. And I believe that. And so here, there is a people going to pass over. Now, God says something here to us. Look in verse 3. He commands the people to look upon the ark. He said, when you see the ark, then you'll remove from your place. How many know we've been in our place too long? We got to go to his place. He's preparing a place for us. And so, he said, when you see the ark, who's the ark a type of? It's a type of Jesus. So when you see the ark, leave your place and go after it. Again, it says of the 144,000, they follow the Lamb whithersoever that he goes. Amen? All right. Now, what else does it say here? He said in verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you, the people, and it, the ark. How much? 2,000 cubits by measure. Now, that was literally 2,000 cubits. But how many know the first ark, the forerunner, 2,000 years went before us? Are you hearing me? 2,000 years ago, he went before us. Hallelujah. And we have come 2,000 years from Jesus, and we're approaching that third day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Joshua said, you haven't passed this way before. And I believe as the prophecy said this morning, the interpretation, there are revelations we do not yet know. Just because we have revelation and knowledge doesn't mean we have it all. We have just a part. I mean, oh, God's interested in his people coming into the fullness. Hallelujah. But we just have a small part, brethren. Hallelujah. And you know, I tell you, God has to send trials when revelation comes to keep people down. Isn't that right? Because of the revelations and the visions Paul had, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh. Why? To keep him down, or it would have destroyed him. Hallelujah. How many know flesh is still flesh? Sure is. All right, now notice what else it says here. It says in verse 5, Joshua said to the people, if you're going to cross Jordan, if you're going to follow the ark, then he said, you've got to sanctify yourself. And when you do that, he said, God's going to do wonders tomorrow. Where? Among you. And I believe as we see the church coming into sanctification, as we see the church coming holy and clean, then we're going to see God's mighty power and the supernatural move in the midst of his people. Hallelujah. And so if you're going to cross Jordan, you're not going to cross living the way you want to live. You're going to cross being sanctified, clean, and holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he said, sanctify your people. It's not an option again. It's a command. For tomorrow he will do wonders among you. Praise the Lord. And so the ark went before the people, and the people, of course, followed the ark. And then look in verse 17, it says, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And I want you to notice that word clean. Hallelujah. But it means entirely. Over Jordan, all of them. So God's bringing a people in together. We know that. Praise the Lord. Now, we want to turn to another scripture this morning. Turn to Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel chapter 47 in God's Word. Hallelujah. And by the way, that last scripture I should have given you, Joshua 1:11. Because in 3 days they were passing over Jordan. Okay. Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47. Verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. Tell me who the door is. And who's the house? The church. Whose house we are, the Bible says in Hebrews. And yet he's the son of the house. He's the priest of the house. He's the master of the house, the Bible says. And it says he brought us to the door of the house. And behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house, eastward. So the waters are coming out of the house. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. One time I was preaching and I was going in a hurry and I said, out of your belly shall flow livers. Of water. Amen. Now, in Genesis, we see the rivers coming out of the garden, and we're the garden today. And here it's out of the house. We're the house. Out of your belly, Jesus said, and that's out of you and me, out of the church. And yet in Revelation it says it's out of the throne. How many know his throne's in us? I mean, I believe there's a throne where God's at, but there's a throne in us. Amen? Hallelujah. And so in chapter 47 here, we see this water's coming out of the house. The water's come down to the south side of the altar. What's this altar for? It's a place of sacrifice, dedication, worship, and so forth. Then in verse 2, he brought me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the other gate by the way that looks eastward. Behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Verse 3. And when the man, there's a man here, God's raising up a man, that had the line in his hand, went forth eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits. Now I want you to count these measurements. And he brought me through the what? Waters. The waters to the ankles. How many's ever liked to get out and splash and play in water when you was a kid? Huh? Still do. The ankle speaks of your walk life. And so here is a measurement to the ankles. Then he says he measured 1,000. And he brought me through the waters to the knees. That's your intercessory prayer life. I read of one man one time, he had so many calluses on his knees because he prayed so much. Yes, that's right. And then notice what else it says. He brought me through and the waters were to the loins. That's the reproductive area. That's your strength. How many know we've been reproducing too long out of ourselves? It's got to be by the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm amazed when I go into meetings, people try to press me to move in the Spirit, but if I don't feel it and don't have it, I don't try it. You can't press people to do it. I see people pressing ministries at times. You can't do that. You can only flow by the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's only will be affected by the Holy Spirit. And too long, we've tried to do things out of ourselves because we saw it done a certain way. Hallelujah. Now, he said, that it comes to the loins. That's the third measurement. Then in verse 5, after it he measured what? 1,000 cubits. Again, and the river that he said I saw, I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in. What does that mean? He's being swallowed up in God. Anybody want to be swallowed up in God? Hallelujah. You know, John looked in Revelation, he didn't see a temple. And all through the scripture, we're called the temple of God. But he couldn't see the temple. But he said, the Lamb is the light of that place, and he's the temple. You know what that means? That means there's a people swallowed up in God. Hallelujah. We're in him. We're in him. You know, the tabernacle, there was the boards. There were 48 boards around that tabernacle. How many's ever read on those boards, sit on the boards? So while I'm talking on the boards, don't get bored. But those boards represent the body of Christ. There was no boards in the outer court. There were boards in the holy place and in the holy of holies. 48 boards, 6 times 8. What's 6 a number of? Man. And 8's a number of resurrection life and new beginnings. And those boards speak of the one new man that God is raising up. And those boards were the same height. But those boards were cut down, stripped, but they were overlaid with something. Gold. God's gold. God's nature, we would say. The body of Christ. It wasn't board against board. It was gold against gold. Hallelujah. But the board was inside the gold. And if you want to see the beauty of the gold, you had to come into the holy place as a priest, or into the holy of holies as a high priest. But there was no boards in the outer court. Hallelujah. What does the board speak of? The body of Christ. And I can say a lot more about that, but I won't. But I just want to show you, the boards are in the gold. And here, he measured this last measurement. And the waters were risen. And he said, waters to swim in. And a river that could not be passed over. What a message there could be in that. Hallelujah. How many know there's a river in Revelation? There's a tree of life on that side of the river and on this side of the river. Isn't that right? And of course, if Jesus tarries, many of us will pass over that river, won't we? Hallelujah. On the other side. One of these days. Now, all right, how many thousands did you measure there? Huh? 4. 1,000 cubits. 4,000 cubits, rather, in all, right? That's 6,000 feet. And we have come to the what day? 6th day, or 6,000 year. And there's a people about ready to be swallowed up in God. Hallelujah. Getting ready for the 7th day. Amen? Hallelujah. And I forgot to mention in verse 1, he talked about this water coming out of the house. And notice there was the forefront of the house. How many know that's the pillars? You ever seen big building and right in the front, there's those big pillars, isn't it? He's the foundation, isn't he? And yet, here's the pillars. It's the overcomers. Hallelujah. And you go on and see that this river began to heal and do a lot of things as it began to flow out. So God's bringing us to that place where we're going to be swallowed up in God. No longer doing our thing, but only doing and moving in God. Praise His name. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. I want us to go to Luke chapter 10. What a beautiful story we have here. Luke 10. Luke 10 in God's Word. Thank you, Lord. And look at verse 25. Let's just start back in verse 25 and come down through it here a little bit. Behold, there was a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Verse 30. Now notice Jesus begins to tell him some things here. Jesus answered and said, A certain man a certain man went down from Jerusalem. How many know Jonah went down? How many ever read the book of Jonah? Every step was down. And this man began to go down from Jerusalem, the city of peace. Or we would say the presence of the Lord. Or, I mean, oh, that Jerusalem's a type of the church. Amen? And we're talking about the natural city of Jerusalem here, though. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho was the place of the curse. It's moon city. What rules the night? The moon. I mean, the powers of darkness rule the night, too. It's the city of the palm trees. And so he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Many leave the presence of God, amen, and end up in a curse. Did you know that? Or they end up in the powers of darkness' hand. Come on. And this man went down, and notice he did something. He fell among thieves. And Satan is waiting just there to kill and destroy and do all those things. Isn't that right? He went down, notice, and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. Now, if we get out of God's territory and get in his territory, how many know we're no match for him in ourselves? If we leave God's presence, we get in his territory, we're no match for him. And so it says here, they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. Notice he could not be wounded until he was stripped. Now, the Bible over and over tells us not to lose our crown. But yet the Bible teaches us we're not to lose our covering either. Amen? Let me show you that real quick. Look in Revelation 16. Turn over there. I believe maybe it's 15. No, it's 16. 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and what? Keepeth his garments. If we don't keep hold of them and keep righteous and walking upright before God, we can be lay out of sin, Christian, as Brother Pittman was talking about yesterday, because they were naked. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. All right, back here in Luke now it says that as he goes down, he falls among the enemy, and they begin to, they strip him of his raiment, they wounded him, and notice, departed leaving him half dead. Verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Now, the priest here represents the ministry. Now, notice when the priest saw him, he passed by on the other side. I mean, you know, sometimes ministers get so busy they can't help people. Or they just don't care. I said, it's true. Hallelujah. Next verse. Likewise, the Levite. Now, here's the congregation coming. We start with the minister first. End up with the congregation. When he was at the place, came and looked on him, and he passed on the other side. He didn't have time to help him either. How many's ever been busy and somebody called you need help, and you just got to go where you're going, but you just couldn't do it because that person really needs some help. Amen? Next verse. But a certain Samaritan... I mean, they were hated. Did you hear me? And usually God will send those that's hated to you, won't he? Because they care for you. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Jesus came where we were. He came to this earth in flesh and blood, body. He walked among us. Amen? He teaches this lesson several ways. But he came where you were. He came where I was. And how many know it can still be touched with the feelings of our infirmities? Yes, sir. And notice what it says. And when he saw him, he was looking for him. He was looking for those that were hurting. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now look over in Luke 15 just a minute. I won't go into this, but it's about the prodigal son. I'm going to tell you, show you five things here. When the prodigal son come home, verse 20, 15, verse 20. This prodigal son rose up and he came to his father. Hallelujah. How many know when all else fails, come to the father? Amen. Now notice, when he was yet a great way afar off, number one, the Father saw him. Again, he's looking for him. Now this man, you see, there's three parables in this chapter that I won't go into, but this one had more maturity than the others. The Father didn't go out after him. The Father waited till he came home. Amen. Now it says here that number one, the Father saw him, and number two, he had compassion, and number three, notice he ran to the prodigal, and four, he fell on his neck, that's on his will, and five, he kissed him. The Greek says he kept kissing him over and over again. Hallelujah. God can put compassion in us. Amen. But we've got to be willing to see those that are hurting. We've got to let that compassion flow out. We've got to run to their aid at times as they come to us. And we got to encourage their will to believe, and we got to fellowship with them. Back in chapter 10. Now notice, in verse 33, he had compassion on him. Verse 34, and he went to him, and he bound up his wounds. How many know the church is wounded? And only the Lord can bind up our wounds. We've been hurt many times by fellow Christians, by ministries, by family, by circumstance, by our job, whatever. But I'll tell you, the Lord is able to bind up your wounds. How's he going to do it? Pouring in oil and wine. There's only one other phrase in the New Testament where that's used, oil and wine, and that's in Revelation chapter 6. He said, hurt not the oil or the wine. Remember that? And here he's pouring in oil and he's pouring in wine. What's oil a type of? Holy Ghost. Wine is a type of that joy. And if you've been wounded, what do you need? You need joy. Amen. That old wounded spirit comes in there, doesn't it? That joy of the Lord will heal it. Cause you to rise up above it. But he's pouring it all in wine. Only the Lord can do that. And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. What's the inn? It's a local church. That's the very thing many people run from. But I'll tell you, when you get wounded, it may be your way for God to get you to the local church where he wants you, where he wants you. I believe we need a place that we can put our feet and say, God has planted me here. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. He brought him to an inn. What's an inn for? To keep us in. Until it's time to move out in God. How many know many want to run? We got a lot of track stars, don't we? But God wants us to sit and learn until it's time to run. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, you'll never mature. You'll never grow up in God. Neither will I if we're not willing to sit and learn. Amen. Hallelujah. So he brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now look at verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out something. 2 pence. Let me show you what that is. Turn back to Matthew 20. Look in Matthew 20. Look in verse 1 and 2. Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like to a man that's a householder which went out early in the morning. There's that word morning again. To hire laborers into his vineyard. Verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for what? A penny. That word pence means a penny. For a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. But how many know when they got through with the work, the early birds got mad at the late birds? What am I saying? I'm saying there's a lot of resentment and bitterness and envy and murmuring even in the kingdom of heaven realm. Right in the holy place. But if we're going to go on in, how many know he's going to take that out of us? Those that came in last didn't murmur and complain. And Jesus said, the last shall be first. That's a principle. And I believe he's going to bring the harlots and the publicans and all those, whoever they may be in this hour, and clean them up. And they're going to have a heart for God. Amen? And we need a heart for God. Okay, back here in Luke 10 now. Notice again what it says. And on verse 35. And on the morrow when he departed. How many know he departed? When did he depart? Almost 2,000 years ago. He took out 2 pennies. What's 2 pennies for? 2 days' wages. How long's it been gone? Right at 2 days. And gave them to the host. Let me tell you who the host is. It's the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, and the evangelists of the end. So he took out 2 pence, 2 pennies for 2 days' wages. He's been gone 2,000 years, 2 days. He departed, amen, and gave it, of course, to them before he left, to the host, and said to them, take care of him. What's that saying? That's saying he has a lot of confidence in the host to take care of those who have been wounded. Can we hear that? Hallelujah. And then he notice what he says. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And the Bible says when he comes, his reward is with him. Well, you said, I'm going over there to get it. Well, you got a problem. Because he's bringing it to you. I mean, that's scripture. I said, that's scripture. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Well, excuse me, verse 36. Which now these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves. He said, he that showed mercy on him. So he's given 2 pennies to the host for provision for 2 days. But thank God, he said, if it takes any more, he said, when I come, I'll pay. Hallelujah. I mean, he always pays his debts. He's not like a lot of people today. Jesus pays his debts. Now go to St. John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4. Hallelujah. St. John chapter 4. And look at verse 1 through 4. Here again, we're talking about Samaria. Can I tell you what Samaria means? It means a watchtower. How many of Jehovah's Witnesses call themselves a watchtower organization? We're not dealing with that. Chapter 4, verse 1 of St. John. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea, departed again to Galilee. Into what? Galilee. And he must needs go through where? Samaria. Notice, he must needs go through Samaria. Well, how many know he met a woman here? Huh? And what hour did he meet this woman? Noontime, sixth hour. How many know he's meeting a church in the sixth day? And he met this woman at the sixth hour. How many know when the sixth hour comes, the sun straight up, brother, there's light and there's heat. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. You know the story about the woman here with Jesus. And he said, woman, you've had 5 husbands. What's 5 number up? Different things. And the one that you're living with is not your husband. How many know that's number 6? How many know we've been married to our senses? What I feel, come on, our 5. Smell, taste, and what else? Hearing and one other. Huh? Well, anyway, there's 5 of them. We've been married to those 5 senses, haven't we? And the 6th one, he said, is not your husband. How many know that's the beast man? Oh, we're married to self, aren't we? But she met number 7. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. And how many know, where was Jesus sitting? He was sitting on what? Jacob's, come on. Well. He was a well on a well. And deep calls unto. And if you're going to go draw out of that old nature, how many know you got to push Jesus off the well? Come on. Now, come on down in the chapter. Look in verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there how long? Now these are two natural days. And we know that he's been in heaven how long? Almost 2 days. How long has he been rejected of his own people? Almost 2 days or 2,000 years. But how many know he's going to bring a remnant of them in too? Thank God for that. Amen. Now look in verse 43. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into some place. Galilee. Let me tell you what Galilee means. Galilee means a circle. And when he comes again, how many know he's coming to the whole earth, the whole world? Galilee will signify all nations. Look in Isaiah 9, I want to show you. Galilee will signify all nations. Isaiah 9, verse 1. Look at verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of what? The nations. He's coming back to the nations. Somebody say amen. Turn to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Verse 3. Speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. I mean, we need to eat a lot of lamb. Midnight's coming, just like it was back here. The death angel's going to pass over. The buzz applied. How many know he cannot touch us? If we're eating the lamb, and if we have the blood applied to our house, come on, he cannot touch us. And it says here that every man, a lamb according to the house, in verse 3, of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Every house needs a lamb. This house and our home. What would it be like in America if every house had a lamb, had the lamb in it today? Be different, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. And you know, no wonder they all came out of Egypt without any sickness or any disease. Hallelujah. They had partaken of the lamb. Verse 4, and he said, if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. You gotta share this lamb with your neighbors. According to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Hallelujah. How many know this lamb's for others too besides us? Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. How many know he's came as the spotless lamb? A male of the first year, you shall take it out of from among the sheep and the goats, and he shall keep it until what? The 14th day of the same month. Now notice in verse 3, they took that lamb on the 10th day. And he said, you'll keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. Now 10 to 14 is how many days? I told you last night, Jesus came in the 4,000 years. Amen? Hallelujah. And it requires, because of Exodus 20, verse 9, let's go to Exodus 20 just a minute. Verse 9, I believe it is, Exodus 20, verse 9, what did God say here? 6 days thou shalt labor and do your work. But in the Sabbath, seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord, right? And Jesus came at the end of the fourth day. And how many know man's been working for 2,000 years? But how many know we're approaching the seventh day, the day of rest? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, or the day of the Lord, the coming of Jesus, whatever. Now turn to Joshua 6. Joshua 6. I think a couple more things here. About three more things here and we'll close probably. How long have we been going? We'll go about an hour. Joshua 6. Praise the Lord. Who can tell me what happened in this chapter? Jericho Again, it speaks of the world system. How many know Jericho was under control of Satan? How many know the world system is under the control of Satan? And you'll notice in this chapter, as we get to it, there were seven priests. There were seven trumpets. We saw last night the seventh trumpet is going to blow. Isn't that right? With all the six before it. And it's on the seventh day. And how many know Israel had to walk around the city how many times? Finally. Yes. Once every day for 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day. So I want to say that again. There's seven priests, seven trumpets, seventh day, seven times. And on that seventh time around the city on the seventh day, they were to shout. That's a victory shout. And we know the walls came down. Well, how many know that's really a miracle? For 3 million people going in the same direction, keeping their mouth shut until it's time to shout. That's a miracle. Amen? Hallelujah. It would help us probably to learn that same lesson, wouldn't it? On the 6 days, it was 5 miles around the city. 5 times 6 is 30. But when they went around that city 7 times, that's 35 miles. They went further in the seventh day than they went the previous 6 days. But there was more happen on the seventh day. But it couldn't happen on the seventh day until they'd done what God said in the first 6 days. Amen. And brethren, we've come to the sixth day. We're ready to enter the seventh. And I tell you, there's more going to happen on the seventh day we're approaching than all that's happened in the first 6,000 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that seventh trumpet is about to sound. Hallelujah. Amen. Look down in verse 20, I believe it is. Look in verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, there's a people arising, brethren, that's going to obey God. They're going to hear that last trumpet sound. They're going to move in God. And I want to tell you, the kingdom of this world are going to come down and become the Lord and His Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And they're going to rule the earth with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. That's God's overcomers. Amen. And how many know that these horns that they blew, these trumpets, were ram's horns? How many know there's a difference in a vial full of oil and a ram's horn full of oil? A vial was made by man. But the ram's horn, it took a death of an animal. And if we're going to be a ram's horn filled with oil, how many know it's going to take a death in our life? We must die out to ourselves. Amen. As Paul said, I die daily. Praise God. If we're going to be a trumpet, then we have to die to our desires and our purposes. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, turn to Hosea 6. Hosea 6 in the scripture. Bless you, Lord. Hosea Chapter 6, in verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn. If God tears you, how many know He's able to heal you? He hath smitten. He'll bind us up. You know, if the devil tears you and smites you, he'll laugh in your face. But God won't do that. Verse 2. After what? There's a song we sing. Everybody, how many's ever sang that song? Yes. After 2 days, will He revive us? There's coming a reviving after 2 days. A revival. I like to use that word. Because you get revived, how many know you're in revival? After 2 days, after 2,000 years, He'll revive us in the third day. Third day from Jesus. He will raise us up and we shall live. That's life in His sight. The greatest battle you and I have is for life today. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come to us as the rain.
and as the latter and former rain unto the earth. And can I tell you that that latter rain is going to take us into that third day, the Feast of Tabernacles, amen, and the coming of the Lord. And I'm going to close with, I want to give you this scripture. Just write it down. Write this scripture down. I don't have time to go into it. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22 and 25. You'll see there that they spoil the enemy in 3 days and got an abundance of things. I believe that, I mean, no, you can't spoil your enemy until you first bind him. And once you bind him, you can spoil his house. And you see that right there in 2 Chronicles 20, 22 and 25 in 3 days. And I'm telling you, brethren, we're going to spoil the enemy's house. Hallelujah. It's coming. Hallelujah. All right, turn now. We talked about the latter rain. I want you to turn quickly with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Deuteronomy, chapter 11. And I want to close today with this scripture in mind that we just mentioned about the latter rain. And I want to share 7 things about the latter rain covenant here real quick with you. Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Did I say 7? It's 11. 11. All right. Look in verse 11 through 12 is the contrast. God's contrast to Egypt from Canaan. Isn't there a contrast between the world and the inheritance? Certainly. Verse 10. For the land whither thou goest and to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. Thank God for that. From whence you came out, where thou sowedest thy seed, watered it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. There's a lot of work in Egypt, isn't there? Amen. How many know God's got a irrigation factory in Canaan's land? But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh. Notice this land. How many know we're the land today too? It drinketh the water of the rain of heaven. You can't drink with your mouth shut, can you? No. Hallelujah. And notice, drinketh the water of the rain of heaven. God's got a lot of water. We just got to take our umbrella down. And notice what it says. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. I want to tell you, you're in his inheritance today. He cares for you and me. And 3, his eyes, the eyes of the Lord are always upon it. Hallelujah. So he's watering this land. He cares for this land. And his eyes is upon this land. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 13 is the condition. How many of those conditions we got to meet? It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken, that means hear, diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. It's for those that love him. It's for those that not only love him, but serve him. Jesus said, if any man serve me, my Father will honor him. The Old Testament said, if you serve him, he'll take sickness from the midst of you. Verse 14 and 15. For, this is the promise. That I will give you the rain of your land in what? Two seasons. And this, you can read Jeremiah 5 with that. The first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in your corn, your wine, and oil. Corn's the word. Wine's the joy, and oil's the Holy Ghost. And I will send grass for your cattle and so forth. All right, verses 16. Here's the warning. 16 to 17 is a warning. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, that you turn not aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. And notice what he'll do. He'll shut up the heaven. How many know when it's shut up, it's shut? Amen. That there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. So if we go after other gods, here's a warning. God said, I'll shut up the heaven against you. Do you know I believe that's what's happening to many people in America? I'm talking about God's people. They're going after so many gods. God has shut up the heavens, and they've lost the victory they once had. Then verse 18 is the exhortation. Verse 18, the exhortation. I'm about through here. Therefore shall you let these my words in your heart and in your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be frontless between your eyes. We've got to keep the word of God before us. It's our pattern. It's our compass. Verse 19 and 20 is our duty. You shall teach them your children. Speak in them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt write them up on the doorposts of thine house. How many know we've got some doorposts right here? And upon thy gates. Here's the clincher, verse 21. Here's the purpose of all this. Why does God want to give us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Verse 21. That your days may be multiplied. And the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware to you, to your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven. Where? Upon the earth. Brethren, it's God's will that we have heaven on earth. Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? In earth as it is in heaven. But most homes don't have heaven, they have the other. But God said it can be heaven on earth as we come his way. So we are approaching the third day or the seventh day from Adam. And God's going to pour his glory into his people. Let's stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, we appreciate being in the camp and meeting all the nice people we met and the fellowship we've had. Lord, again today, we thank you again for Jesus. We thank you for the Lamb. And Lord, everyone in this place, help them to eat much of that Lamb, Lord. Not only for themselves, but Lord, share it with their family and share it with their neighbors. Lord, and that blood may be applied for the midnight that's approaching, Lord. That we'll be spared and kept from the death angel, Lord. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Lord, as you brought forth your firstborn out of Egypt, Lord, you're raising up your firstborn ones in this hour. This coming in the image of Christ, of the firstborn one. God, I thank you today for those that are partaking of the Lamb. And Father, as they go their way today, we bless them. We pray your hand to be upon them. We pray your peace and your joy and your love to be at their side, Lord. God, we bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.